So good. Oh, so good. Janice likes to put in a request. Janice Gill is the Escambia County Administrator. She likes to request songs, and she always pulls something different, often from the 80s, often earlier than that. But it's just such good music. I love the Talking Heads. Janice Gill is the Escambia County Administrator, and she joins Pensacola Morning News. Janice, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, man, that's such a great song, too. Hey, let's start with this. It's ongoing. We are in the middle of the census, and most people went online and did it easy peasy, because that is the easiest way to do it, just go online. I think this is the first time we've had the ability to go online and do it, the every 10-year census. But still, not enough people have done it. And for the people maybe who are listening right now and haven't yet completed their census, what do you want to tell them?
I would say it is as easy as it's ever been to complete. It's only a couple of questions, and it actually can make the difference for our community for the next decade. And there, you know, obviously elections have consequences, and so when you cast your vote, those are things that have a lot of that carry a lot of weight for a long time. But I would say that this census is one of those things that absolutely we know can make a difference in our community, whether it's the way we are apportioned federal funds for some of the programs that we, you know, really count on, like transportation, even things whenever FEMA comes around. There are issues there that we need to have funded, and making sure that we know the population of our community and things like that can help us as we try and recover from disaster. There are just so many different things that are important for being counted and being counted properly for our community.
Where do we stand right now? The goal I thought I had heard was we were trying to get to 80%. Maybe that's the mayor had said that. That seems like a very high goal.
Well, yeah. So when we looked at this last year, we looked at the previous responses, in the past years, and we were close to 70, 72% in terms of responses. And so, quite frankly, we thought, hey, we hiked this soon enough, pre-COVID, we can get to 80, because we thought, hey, if we set a high benchmark, we can make it if we just keep pushing. And that has been our joint goal between the city and the county. It's still our goal. And if you don't set a goal, you're definitely not going to reach it, right? But when we looked at other counties around the state, I believe the highest county was Monroe County. And I thought, dadgum, if Monroe County, as spread out as it is, can have such a high response, surely as condensed as Escambia County is, we can have a high response. So that's where the 80% came from. It was, yes, it was an aspirational goal, but it was also something we felt was very achievable, given the ease of filling it out and the fact that we've been working together, jointly on a campaign. And we've appreciated the city's partnership in that.
Very good. And as you say, it impacts a lot of different things. It's easy to do. It is sort of a basic civic responsibility. I mean, it's kind of funny because, especially if you believe in the Constitution, I mean, this is one of the core requirements of government is to conduct a census. Well, that requires the citizens to participate. So if you want to be counted so that we get our fair apportionment or anything related to what the Constitution requires. Hey, I get a weird question for you. We're into the budget season now, which is my absolute favorite time of year. That's total sarcasm. I barely can watch budget meetings, which I know you get to do them all the time. Am I right? I set to record the budget meeting from the other day, and I think it timed out at 29 minutes. Was it just a 29-minute meeting?
Well, the whole meeting wasn't 29 minutes, no, sir.
Oh, okay.
we had several conversations about the outside agencies, and then we also spoke about the CARES.
Okay. So it was much longer than that. I know I didn't watch it live, and then I went to sit down and look at it a little bit. I'm like, wait a minute, what happened?
Yeah, we were there till almost 10 o'clock.
I figured that would be the case, but the video was way short. Okay, so what are the kind of the key things that are being discussed right now in the budget meetings that people need to understand about?
Mm-hmm. So I would just say one of the things that that's important, there's absolutely no increase in the millage, which I know as a taxpayer and a homeowner and a business, property owner, people are always very concerned about. So there are no increases over last year. The millage is the 6.615. The sheriff's office MSTU is the same, and the library MSTU is the same. So that's one thing that I think people will be interested in. We do get questions if there are any increases. Those are typically due to an increase in the property valuation, and so those are questions that would, have to go to a different entity. But, one of the things that we've struggled with coronavirus is trying to make sure that we have maintained the services to the county, even though we've had some slight reductions in some of the taxes that I've mentioned, you know, here before. And I think we've done a pretty good job of that. Our staff has done a great job in terms of trying to manage the resources that they have from this current year. And as we go into the next fiscal year, we're very healthy, I would say, from a financial standpoint. Is there more that we could do in terms of, you know, deferred maintenance, capital infrastructure, things like that? You know, those are huge lists of, you know, projects that need to be funded. But I also think that the services that we provide on a daily basis are very, very key. And the commissioners are committed to making sure that the citizens continue to receive those services at the level that they have grown accustomed to getting. So that's what I'm looking forward to about the budget is, at this moment, we don't have giant shortfalls, and we are continuing to maintain the services for our citizens.
Well, and as you mentioned, kind of when you began your answer, this question of trying to forecast in an era of COVID is very challenging because it's affecting where you have to spend money. It's also affecting supply kinds of issues like labor. Obviously, you know, we've had, you know, a lot of contribution from the annex, the road prison folks who do work, and they're on, you know, lockdown again because of COVID, and that that impacts things. We've seen that even in the jail. You know, the jail is behind budget, is behind timeline because it's hard to get construction folks to do their jobs in this era, in this pandemic, and so that's affecting everything, right?
It absolutely is. And the disappointing thing about the jail is that, you know, we continue to pay almost $4 million a year to Walton County to house our inmates.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're getting a premium, in my opinion, for that housing. And that also keeps us from being able to hire the corrections officers and the folks that we need over here for the new jail because the money's tied up with Walton County. So, you know, we're having to balance that. I'm looking forward to the new jail getting open this next year. I think it'll be a much better, I hate to say experience, because obviously jail would never be a good experience. However, I think it will be a much better experience for the inmates because we are going to have some things that will be helping with, you know, rehabilitation and education and things like that that we currently don't have capacity for in the existing jail.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to getting that jail up and going for so many different reasons. But you're right. We have had some challenges with the construction due to just the number of available labor.
Yeah, I mean, look, a jail built with decades-old technology to decades-old standards can't possibly be as good either for the inmates or for from a safety perspective or usability perspective from the staff and the corrections officers either. So I agree with you. I'm looking forward to being able to not have to spend all that money to send our inmates to other counties because we don't have the capacity ever since the CBD blew up. Now, Janice, we've been doing COVID, you know, compensation for people. I guess we opened the one and we had it fill up and we opened another one and we had to close it again because it seems like it, which is not a surprise, okay? When you start helping people by giving them money, there will be an overwhelming result and you're going to run out of money pretty quickly. But we still have the potential for significantly more money to come in that we can disperse, right?
Yes. So one of the issues that we have is that we have received the first 25% of allocation that the state, you know, determined back in June. And so we have gotten that first 25%. Interestingly, I'm not aware of any county that has started getting their started getting the 75% yet. We have been asking FDEM about that. So, you know, our goal is to get this first 25% out to the best that we can, and then just, you know, hope that the Department of Emergency Management will help us find a way to, you know, get the remainder of the funds so that we can get it to our community.
Oh, very good. And, you know, like you say, it's a bit of a guessing game to figure out how we're going to draw down that other 75 since it doesn't seem to be super clear that anybody's succeeded at doing that just yet. Hey, I have a kind of a good news note. It's a mixed bag. It's a good and not a good. But my wife and I like to bike around the whole county, and we always stumble on stuff. And this last weekend, we stumbled on something that we didn't even know existed, and it was so cool. Are you familiar with the Pikes, or is it the Pipes, excuse me, and Fillingen Landing? Are you familiar with these places?
Yeah.
Fillingen Landing is so cool on the Perdido River. It's like the best.
It's beautiful.
It's like the best little beach nobody's ever heard of. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah, you're telling everybody now.
Well, you know, it's okay. It's a resource that the community owns, and so it's fair enough for people to go there. You know, you can wade and swim in the river and play on the beach, and it's up in the North End, basically. It's sort of the North End. I just didn't know if you were familiar. I assumed you were as a North End girl. I figured you were familiar, but I will say the access road to the other one, is it the Pipes or the Pikes? I forget now. That one needs
a
little bit of work.
Yes, the Pipes.
The Pipes, it's underwater most of the time. That one needs some work, but the other one's really cool.
And there are some big holes.
Yes. It's an adventure on a bicycle.
You can lose an entire vehicle in there.
Yes. Yes, you can. And sometimes you have a question for me. Would you have a question this week?
Yeah, I was going to ask you. So remember back in May, I asked you, what did you think about the governor's pick for the Supreme Court justice?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I did, and I said I loved her. I think she's great.
What do you think about this?
I think it's absurd.
What do you think about this?
I think it's absurd, and I talked about this earlier in the hour, and I said I think it's ridiculous that there's basically a black female legislator who says we got to have black females on the Supreme Court, and now that she's got a black female on the Supreme Court, that's not good enough because of some technicality about how long she was on the bar. I think it's absurd, and I hope this changes, and I hope that Renata Francis gets on the court. So that's kind of my short take on it, yeah.
And did you see that the president has provided two of the Florida justices for the
Barbara Lagoa and who was the other one? Was it
Carlos Muñiz?
Yeah,
Carlos is actually a good friend of mine, and he actually clerked under Clarence Thomas when he was in law school at UVA, and. Anyway, it'll be interesting. I don't know if he were to get chosen. I don't know if there's ever been a situation where a clerk of a Supreme Court justice both served on the Supreme Court at the same time. That would just be interesting.
And that's interesting because most of the Supreme Court justices did clerk at some point, but you know, as you say, did they serve contemporaneously? That's interesting. No, yeah, I saw that on the list of the extra 20 that President Trump put up yesterday. I thought, I'll go Florida. We got a couple of those.
Yeah.
Well, Janice Gillis, she is the
Escambia. Yeah, I mean, who knows what the chances are?
right, exactly. And plus, that's past an election, the forecast of which is at this point a little bit unclear. Janice Gillis, she is the Escambia County Administrator. Thanks so much for the time and what you do, Janice. I appreciate it.
I appreciate y'all. Y'all stay tough.